You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida, welcoming you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we've called this program for a lot of years, Raising the standard. When we know the truth, as the Bible says, it will make us free. So we just thank you for tuning in. I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, we offer CDs. All we ask for is a love offering. You make out whatever God tells you and send it in, and we'll be glad to send you out a copy of the CD from today's teaching. It might be an eye-opener for a lot of people, and maybe not for some. So we're honored to be here. I'm going to let my wife talk about where we're having our meetings now on Saturday afternoon on the Shabbat.
Well, good afternoon, and I would say Shabbat Shalom to everyone.
Amen.
And we are having our meetings at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida, on Osceola Boulevard. That would be 445 Osceola Street or Boulevard. I think it's
Street.
Three one-way street.
Street.
Okay, Street. That's at 2 p.m. this afternoon. So come and join us, and we will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Amen. I'd also like to say, Pastor Gene, I'm going to give the telephone number. If somebody would like to give an end-of-the-year offering
this
radio program, because it's, it's a little costly, and we certainly could use the finances for this program. So just be blessed, and perhaps the Lord is speaking to you, and Pastor Gene bumps into people, or we bump into people now
all
and
the time.
then, and so, that we don't even know. Or
I know you. I know that voice.
It's good. They say they've been listening to us for a while, so. Yeah. If the Lord lays it on your heart, you can give us a call, and we can give you the address where you can mail a love offering if you'd like to do so.
Amen.
So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. And what we're going to – oh, I see my brother just came online in Australia. I would bring him on, but I think I won't do that right now.
Okay.
So I say hello to my brother in Australia.
Yeah.
So we're just blessed to be on this radio broadcast, and it's live, going live right now on Facebook. So it will be posted again tomorrow, and you can listen to it again and again and again if you'd like to. And also, Pastor Gene's going to show the book that the Lord gave him many years ago, and it has all the feasts of the Lord in it, and it has all the thing about Hanukkah and about the conception of Christ, and you got to put it in front of the camera.
And the birth of Christ.
It's
all in this book.
And it has to do with the book of Daniel as well, and also the book of Revelation, because we need to know Daniel so if we're going to understand the book of Revelation. So
if we didn't have Daniel, we couldn't understand it.
That's the book. Straighten it up a little bit. It's called God's Prophetic Calendar, Prophetic Pictures of the Messiah. And we know the Messiah is none other than Yeshua, or Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So this is all about Him. Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, honey. So that book is what, $25?
$25.
Plus some shipping and
maybe
handling.
Maybe about $4 for shipping and handling.
So, you know, you would be blessed to have it. And it's not like you have to read the book all the way through. Just read it. Just read whenever you come to that certain festival.
Time of the year, yeah.
Time of the year, like we've just come through Hanukkah.
Right.
But we're going to talk a little bit about Hanukkah again, because Hanukkah has to do with the Lord.
That's right.
And we need to know that. You know, without a conception, there could never be a birth.
Can't be a birth.
So to me, the miracle is the conception.
Absolutely.
Because it was a supernatural conception.
That's
amen.
Right.
Now, all night long, I had this going through my this song going through my mind. Not the whole song, but I know it came from "Deck the Halls with Bells of with
holly.
Boughs of Holly." Well, you know, and it says it's the season to be
jolly.
Well, I thought, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are not jolly at this season. And what does the word jolly mean? I looked it up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to tell you real quick what some of the words. Cheerful, happy, good, humored, merry, sunny, joyful, joyous, lighthearted, bubbly. You know, we should be happy, you know, and joy. It comes from the word joy, I think, as well, you know, joy. Well, where does the joy come from? We just prayed for Pastor Tom here, but the joy of the Lord comes from, we get strength from the joy of the Lord.
Right. J-O-Y. Is it going to be Jesus or you?
Jesus or you.
That's what we got to keep in mind. It's got to be about Him.
So to be jolly, you know, that will cause us in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the joy of the Lord, and we'll receive His strength. But I think a lot of people, they think of that word jolly. They think about jolly old Saint Nick, right? Or they think about something else, you know, the decking the halls or decorating a hall for a party. Well, God wants us to be jolly, but there's many, many people during this season that are not jolly. They're not happy. They're sad because they may not have the things to give to their children.
Right.
Or they may not have family around, or perhaps a loved one has passed away. And it brings a time of sadness to them. So, and it can be difficult, you know, when you're going through difficult times. Maybe somebody is sick.
That's right.
Maybe they've lost their job. It could be a lot of things.
A lot of things.
A lot of situations could cause someone to lose their joy. So it's something that we really have to press into. And I asked our dear sister Joanna, who does the music for us, you know, we need to stomp on the head of the enemy.
That's what we need.
And it's not always easy to do when you're not feeling that great, or something's going on in your life that's troubling you, or you're hurt, or maybe you just don't have any family around at all.
I experienced that.
And so many
that,
people,
yeah.
They don't even have any family around this time. And so, you know, we're looking to circumstances, but our joy comes in knowing Jesus Christ. He was conceived and born, and He died, and He did all these things. He resurrected for that we might have the joy of the Lord, that we might be jolly, if you might want to call
it. That's right.
And have His joy.
Knowing you have eternal life ought to make you joyful, right?
But what do people do? They think the joy is the things of getting presents.
That's right.
It's not about receiving presents, because the greatest gift anyone can receive is to receive the gift of salvation.
Absolutely.
To receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that is the greatest gift of all. If I had, and you can't, there's no price you can put on that.
Absolutely.
You know, you might give your children $100, $1,000, buy them a new car, buy them a new bicycle. You can't give them salvation, can
nope.
you?
Certainly
so the
can't.
Greatest gift that I would want to give my family and my children and my friends would be the gift of salvation. Because you can have a beautiful Christmas tree. You can have the most beautiful ornaments on that Christmas tree that you would ever buy. I mean, look at the White House. You know, the expense that they have put into decorating the White House is a lot of money. How many... Well, we could go there. There's a lot of poor people that just don't have anything. They can't even afford to buy a Christmas tree. But it's not about a Christmas tree.
That's right.
It's about the tree that Jesus died on. It's about that tree. It's about His blood. It's about salvation. So the greatest gift would be the gift of heaven.
Amen.
That your children, that my children, that our families, our friends would be in heaven with us when we would all go to heaven.
That's right.
Because, you know, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory in heaven. No more pain, no more sickness, no more heart problems, no more nothing except good things, because God is good and God doesn't do anything junk, no junk in heaven.
No junk.
No. But you'll have wonderful, but you want your family there, right?
Amen.
So to me, the greatest gift that we could ever give our children would be the gift of heaven.
That's right.
But people have to receive it.
That's right.
People have to receive it. So we're going to go back and talk a little bit about Hanukkah. Now, we're not putting people down that celebrate Christmas. We're not trying to do that. That's not our point.
Nope.
The point is just to bring truth.
Truth will make you free.
Because this radio broadcast is called Raising the Standard. So it's to bring truth. And so we want to bring as much truth as the Lord gives us. Now, that's why Pastor Gene's book is in a spiral book, because if the Lord shows him something else or shows somebody that he gleans something from someone else, he adds it to the book, or he might change something. Because, you know, none of us all know everything.
That's for sure.
So we're not saying that we know everything.
Nope.
But we can prove, but through the Bible and through history, that Jesus was not born at Christmas time.
That's right. That started with the Romans.
So I know if that may just turn some of you off right now and you might want to just shut the radio program off. Well, you know what? I would suggest that you stay tuned and you listen and ask the Lord to reveal truth to you.
That's right.
So here we are with Miss Margie and myself and Pastor Gene. And I guess I could have put the camera on me. I don't know how to turn this thing around, but I understand you can turn it around. Oh, there I am. Okay. Yeah. Oh, my hair is a wreck. I'm going to turn it back around, Pastor Gene.
Okay. Yeah. You know, while you're talking, I was thinking about joy. I was thinking about James chapter 1 over there where, remember, James wrote and said, count it all joy. And this is an imperative in the Greek language. Count it all joy when diverse temptations come and things happen. No matter what it is, we have to count it joy. And I've talked to you on this program before. When I was in the hospital, there was a period of time for, I don't know, maybe a month and a half or better that I didn't have any joy. I just was ready to throw in the towel. Until one day, a couple came in and they spoke a word over Don and I, and the Lord just infused in me to get up out of that bed, start doing what you can, and that's what turned it all around. And so I'm sitting here before you today, a living miracle of what God did for me. I died twice. They brought me back two times. First time they had to give me CPR. The second time they paddled me and brought me back.
And they gave you CPR after you'd had
open heart surgery
at
right.
6 weeks.
That's right. So here I am. So I'm a miracle, and it's because of God, nobody else. And
amen.
So I thank all of you that's prayed for us. We had thousands of people I knew around the world was praying for us during that time. And so here I was in the hospital for 4 months struggling with complications and all. But here I am.
Amen.
I'm whole. Amen.
And we thank the Lord for those
Amen.
Who are praying for us and continue to pray for us. Amen. Because it's
right.
a battle. You know, doing this radio broadcast is a battle because the enemy hates this radio broadcast.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't want
truth.
Us to raise the standard. He doesn't want truth.
Yep.
He would rather just have something on there that's going to glorify other things. But
that's
we're
right.
here to glorify
Yeshua.
The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're not glorifying a little angel that's sitting on top of a tree.
Yeah, a little fat baby.
Or it could just be, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, because angels are not, they don't sit on top of trees. Angels are real, and angels are big.
They're big.
They
yeah.
are big. And they're here to help, to minister to us, to protect us.
Those that are going to inherit salvation, it says. Yeah.
So angels are important, you know,
Amen.
And God's important. I don't know why I said that about angels, but we just praise God. Amen.
So what we're going to talk about here today.
Hallelujah.
And
Hi,
we,
Dan.
And if we don't get this done today, we'll do it next week. But we're going to talk about the biblical dates for Messiah's, what? His conception and birth. Like Donna just said a moment ago, without a conception, there can be no birth. So we're going to take you through this, and it's all in the Word of God. It's been there all these years, but nobody's really looked at it that way. We believe something the Romans put in place way back when they came up with December 25th, the winter solstice and all those things that's going on. But we want to know the truth, amen, and the truth will make us free. So what I want to do, remember, this all started, so what we're going to look at, first of all, the conception of John the Baptist. We get some dates on that, the conception of Yeshua, not his birth, but his conception. And then the next step after that, if we get through this, we're going to talk about the birth of John the Baptist, and then what? The birth of Yeshua. And if you've read your Bible, you know that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Yeshua, if you read your Bible. Hope you know that. Well, anyway, The father of John the Baptist was Zacharias, and he was serving in the temple at a particular time during the year, and we're going to read that in a moment. But I want to go to 1 Chronicles 24 and show you something, that the priesthood was put down, the way God set it up. There was a lot for each one. There was an order for each one. And all the priests had to serve at least twice during the year, really more than that, first part of the year and the second part, and then all the appointed times they had to be there. So,
and we can prove this by the scripture.
That's right.
So exactly when John the Baptist was born.
We can find out what the Bible says. So I'm in 1 Chronicles 24, and verse 10 says this, the seventh to Hekaz, and the eighth to Abijah. Well, now Abijah is the name. Now we see it in the New Testament. It's going to be the word Abiah, which means the same thing. Now Margie's going to read Luke chapter 1, verse 5 for us.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
That's right.
So they were the priesthood.
They were in the priesthood. So he was serving in the temple when he saw this and he questioned what God was doing. What happened to John? What happened to him? What happened to Zacharias?
There was an angel that came there.
Yeah. He was mute because he didn't believe God. That's right.
And God shut his mouth until the baby was born.
That's right.
Actually, until the baby was named.
That's right.
Because that name had nothing to do with family name, you know.
That's right.
Because John the Baptist was called for a certain time. He was the one that was sent out in the wilderness. Amen.
That's right.
And that's prophesied as well. But it's very important to know that the time that, see, we can prove this when these priests served in the temple.
The temple.
And you know, when they set up the temple again, this will happen again.
They all have an order, right?
Everyone has an order.
There's God an has order an order
for every single
That's
one
right.
of the priests.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just read a lot of this out of my commentary. Now, if you'd like to get this book, it's available for $25 and maybe $4 for shipping and handling. Okay, and so I spent a lot of time on this. And if you read this and have an open heart, I think you're going to see some things. The very first paragraph we're going to talk about is the conception of John the Baptist. Now, that's revealed in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 25. Now, we're not going to read all that, but you can read it. Chapter 1, verse 5 through 25 talks about the birth of John, or the conception, I should say, of John the Baptist. Now, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, he was ministering in the temple. It was during the ministration of Abijah. In the New Testament, that Greek word, it's the way they pronounce it, it's called Abiah. The eighth order. And we just checked that out over here in 1 Chronicles 24. And you can see that also in Luke 1:9 and also 1 Chronicles 24:10, which we looked at. And this is all according to the Talmud also, the Jewish writings. The eighth week of service covers the last week of the second Hebrew month of Iyar and the first week of the third Hebrew month, which is the month of Sivan. What comes in the month of Sivan? Pentecost, which culminates at Pentecost. This is the anchor point for discovering the exact time of Yeshua's birth. The angel promised Zacharias that his prayer had been answered in Luke 1:13. Want to read that, Margie? Luke 1:13.
Yes. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
Yeah. Okay. And so what did he do? He went home immediately to his wife. She conceived. It seems almost appears to be immediately, as it reads in Luke 1:23 and 24. Want to read those two?
Amen. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house.
Mm-hmm.
And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked up me to take away my reproach among men.
Because she was older and hadn't had any children. Now, this puts the conception then of John the Baptist very near the time of Pentecost in the second week of the month of Sivan, which is the third month on the Hebrew calendar, okay? So that's about his conception. Now, the next thing we want to talk about, let's talk about the conception of Yeshua. We just went through Hanukkah, and we mentioned it a couple times on the program, but we didn't have a chance to really go into this. But I want to go into it a little bit deeper for you, okay?
Because we know there's only 6 months difference in their ages,
that's
right?
That's right, 6 months. Then at the close of the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's in Luke 1:26, the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary. Who was Mary? The mother of Christ, okay?
Yes.
Gabriel told Mary about Elizabeth, saying, she who was called barren is 6 months pregnant. That's why Zacharias had a problem with this, and he doubted, and so he was mute because of that. And that's in Luke 1:36. This would be the last of the ninth Hebrew month, which is the month of Kislev. What comes in the month of Kislev? We talked about the last couple of weeks. Hanukkah, dedication. At that time, it was called Hanukkah, and it is today. There are 27 weeks. Think about this now. 27 weeks between the end of Zacharias' service of Abiah or Abijah and the start of Hanukkah dedication, which is celebrated 8 days from Kislev 25 to Tevet 2. Okay?
Amen.
So there's 27 weeks. Now, Mary.
Kislev 25 is the first day of Hanukkah. Yes.
Mary accepts the word of the angel concerning the conception of Yeshua in her, and she immediately rushes from Nazareth to the home of Elizabeth and Zacharias in the Judean mountains, close to Jerusalem, about a 3 days journey from Nazareth. This is in Luke 1:39 through 40. You can read that as well. You want to read that one? Luke 1:39 and 40.
And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth.
Okay. Now, let's go on. Mary was probably going there to celebrate Hanukkah. All the Jews celebrated these days, and to help Elizabeth with her pregnancy, as well as to talk to Elizabeth about the angel's visitation to her. So they had a lot to talk about, didn't they?
Yes.
Upon Mary's greeting to Elizabeth, Elizabeth responds to Mary, calling her the mother of my Lord. So even his mother, Mary, knew that Jesus, her son that was in her, was going to be what? Her Lord.
Can I read verse 41?
Go right ahead.
And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary,
yes,
the babe leaped in her womb.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So John the Baptist leaped in her womb.
Before he was born.
Before he was born. You know, the minute, I can just see it, you know, when the minute Mary and Elizabeth embraced,
mm-hmm,
baby to baby, you know, wow, baby Jesus, Yeshua, was just... just concede. He wasn't very, very big in
that's right,
Mary's belly,
that's
in
right,
her womb,
yeah,
and probably couldn't tell she was pregnant by looking at
that's
her.
That's right.
But the babe, but Elizabeth was over 6 months pregnant at that
right
time. And John the Baptist, he leaped in Elizabeth's womb.
That's
wow,
right,
that's powerful.
So what, yes, what does this show? This demonstrates that Mary was already pregnant with Yeshua at that time.
Amen.
And she said, Elizabeth said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. That tells you right there that the baby was already in her womb.
That's right.
Amen.
So here, thus Yeshua was conceived at Hanukkah, the festival of lights, for he is the light of the world, as it says in John 8:12. Now, we talked about this during Hanukkah. It lasts for 8 days. Remember, we talked about this? They only found one flask of oil. It was enough to rededicate the temple, and it was enough to burn for 1 day, they thought. But the miracle was it burned for the 8 days. Amen?
Yes.
And so this is why our Heavenly Father chose this time, because it is a festival of lights. I was in Publix yesterday, and in the meat where they have the cold cuts, there was a thing on the counter in blue and white, and it says, festival of light.
That's right.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Because it's about Hanukkah, okay? So we see this, and we've talked about it. So this shows you that Jesus was conceived, I believe, from the scriptures here, on the first day of Hanukkah. And then we see from that point on, we go on. Amen? Now, sometimes the time of Hanukkah falls close to Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman Church of medieval times combined the pagan winter solstice in late December with the 25th of Kislev, which was the day of the first day of Hanukkah, to create Christmas, better known as Christ's Mass, on December 25th. Supposedly, this was to celebrate Christ's birth. This is a lie and deception, so it's not true. Well, who brought this into being? Well, the early church, the Roman Church, did this, and it's been hanging around all these years, and the truth has been in this Bible that I'm looking at in my hands for all these years, and God wants you to know the truth. So we're giving you some evidence here today that's going to demand a verdict on your part. Now, the next thing we want to talk about here, Yeshua is shown celebrating Hanukkah in John 10, 22 and 23. We talked about that the last 2 weeks. It is at this celebration that he declares, I and my Father are one,
amen,
in John 10, 30. which testifies to his divine origin and his conception, right?
Yes.
Sure does. It also reinforces Hanukkah as the time of his conception. Historically, then, it is more accurate to celebrate Yeshua entering the world through conception at Hanukkah rather than to celebrate his birth at Christmas. So as we shall show you here, Christmas is not the birthday of Christ. In fact, Christmas is really an invention resulting from religious compromise with a pagan foundation and tradition. Christmas only has harmony with the truth, in that it falls approximately at the time of the year when Yeshua was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now, we know the Jewish people today, you know, they don't believe in Yeshua, but you know, at Hanukkah, they exchange gifts or give gifts to their children to compete with this thing called Christmas.
It wasn't done in Jesus' day.
Nope.
They didn't give gifts.
Nope, they didn't.
It's a competition thing.
That's
because,
right.
You know, they want their children to have gifts too. So
that's
that
right.
Brings us back to even bringing paganism into the Jewish belief.
That's right.
Because it was really a time of battle. That was a time of battle
with the Maccabees.
With the Maccabees,
that's
and
right.
To bring, to restore what the enemy had
that's
stolen.
Right. That's right.
And that's exactly what has happened today. The enemy has stolen the real reason, the real truth. And, you know, and I think about Mary going to see Elizabeth. That was a real encouragement for both of them.
Absolutely.
Because both of their sons really went through, you know, suffered a lot. And you know, Elizabeth, she prophesied to Mary. And if we have time, it would be good to read that. That's the word that was spoken.
Okay.
Because the prophetic word is alive and well and still alive and well today.
Today, it never changes.
I mean, maybe you have been prophesied too and you feel like, you know, things are just not going the way you feel they should go. Well, we don't always know why things are happening the way they happen.
That's right.
But I believe that word of prophecy, which prophecy always is a word to encourage. It's also a word to, you know, to
strengthen and comfort
and to direct, bring direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that this word that Elizabeth had for Mary really encouraged her, because
sure.
You think about Mary at the cross when her son was hanging on that cross.
Anybody can't comprehend what she must have went through.
Going through what
the agony
Yeshua did.
That's right.
But he was willing to fulfill everything because
Everything the Father
God
asked
him
to do. That's right. That was his purpose. Now, we've talked about John the Baptist's conception. Now, let's talk about John the Baptist's birth, okay? This is going to be in Luke 1:56 through 80. Now, we're not going to read all that, but I'm just going to summarize it here for you. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months, the scripture tells us, which was until the birth of John. Since the full pregnancy term is 41 weeks, the normal gestation period for the birth of a child is 40 weeks. However, in Judaism, with a Hebrew male, circumcision is what accomplishes a full Hebrew birth. Thus, the total weeks equals 41 weeks, and the 27 weeks makes up the first 6 months or two trimesters of the pregnancy, which is exactly the time from the temple service of Abijah or Abiah to Hanukkah. That leaves 14 weeks to accomplish the last trimester and bring Elizabeth to full term. There are exactly 14, this is key, there are exactly 14 weeks from Hanukkah to Passover. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
14 weeks, okay? And when is Passover? Nisan 14 through the 21st. Therefore, John the Baptist was born at Passover. Hallelujah! He was circumcised on the eighth day, which would be the last day of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Gabriel had said that John would go forth in the strength and power of who? Of Elijah. That's in Luke 1:17. Jewish teaching was that Elijah would come again at Passover. This is still a tradition in Judaism. Even today, they do this every year at the Seders at Passover. So that takes care of the birth now of John the Baptist. Now, here's the most important part. We're going to talk about the birth of Yeshua.
Amen.
Okay? We're going to put this all together now. You ready?
So we've already settled that the conception of Yeshua is
Hanukkah.
That's
right. And I believe it was on Kislev 25, the first day.
Amen.
When he was conceived.
Now, because we have the same number of days till the birth of the baby's born. I know you're going to talk about that.
That's
go ahead.
Right. Now, the birth of Yeshua, now I was going to talk about, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2.
Okay.
The month of Nisan, this is what? The first month, really, on the Jewish, what, prophetic calendar?
Yes.
In the spring. When John was born is the first month of the Hebrew year. As I have shown, Mary conceived 6 months after Elizabeth conceived, which means that Yeshua's birth would have to come 6 months after John's birth. during the seventh Hebrew month of the month of what?
Tishri.
That's the seventh month on the Jewish prophetic calendar. Since we know that John was born at Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we learn the time of Yeshua's birth by counting 6 Hebrew months from Passover. Real simple math. The Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on Nisan 15, and 6 months later, Tabernacles begins on Tishri 15. Huh? Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
So what are those 6 months? 1,260 days. Therefore, Yeshua was born on the first day of Sukkot, better known as what? The Feast of Tabernacles. 6 months is what? The 1,260 days? John is born on Nisan 14, 15, a full moon. He was born on a full moon. Yeshua is born on Tishri 15, also a full moon. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
He's showing he's the light of the world. Amen? Now let's go on. The first day of Tabernacles is a high Sabbath of rest. Now we've talked about this a little bit, but I might mention this because some people may forget. The Jewish people were given a weekly Sabbath, but there was also 7 high Sabbaths that God put in place that all revolve around his appointed times. And so the first day of Tabernacles was one of those days, and so was the last day. Feast of Unleavened Bread in the spring. What was it? The first day of Unleavened Bread was a high Sabbath. The last day was a high Sabbath. You see what we're talking about?
So there were more than one Sabbath.
That's right. Now, if you read in Colossians 2 over there, it talks about the Sabbaths, plural, meaning that they have, if you know, he was just going to talk about the Sabbath, it would be singular, but he says Sabbaths, plural. So it's talking about the weekly Sabbath plus all these other Sabbaths as well.
So the weekly Sabbath is every Saturday, every seventh day.
That's right.
And it's not on Sunday.
Nope.
No. And the high Sabbaths are special Sabbaths for right. During feast times.
And they're not to work. They're not to do any work at all. They're to honor the Lord. Okay. So the first day of Tabernacles is a day of rest. So it fits that Joseph and Mary planned their journey to Bethlehem so they would finish their journey before this particular high Sabbath of the first day of Tabernacles on Tishri 15. They found their lodging in a booth, better known as a sukkah, used for animals and cattle. This is revealed in Genesis 33:17. We've talked about that before.
Yes.
There was a place named Sukkah, or Sukkot, over in Genesis 33:17. Yeshua was laid in a manger, which is what? It was a feeding trough where animals were fed. He is our bread of life, isn't he?
Yes.
So concerning the Feast of Tabernacles, the Lord commanded that Israel should observe it for 8 days. Hear that? They were to build temporary dwellings called a sukkah and to dwell in them. This is in Leviticus 23, verse 34 through 43. You can look that up on your own. These sukkahs were erected to house families with some bare comforts and food for the total 8 days. Food was placed in a stall or a crib for storage in the sukkah. You know, even in Israel today, people live in those big high-rise buildings. During Tabernacles, they build a sukkah out on their patio, and they live in it for those 7 days, plus the 8th day, which is called Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah.
Yes.
The King James Bible now calls the food crib a manger. Yeshua was not born in a barn, as we know it today, but rather in a temporary sukkah, which has been built for this celebration. He was placed in a manger, revealing to us as a pattern that he is the bread of life from heaven. Since they rode on animals to get to Bethlehem, it was a 3-day journey.
Yes.
There was also a feeding trough for their animals in the sukkah. Wow, what a comparison. A manger, huh? Mm-hmm. A manger sustenance. So do we need the bread of life, his word. That keeps us going as well. Now the 8th day.
The 8th day of what?
Of Tabernacles.
Okay.
This is also called rejoicing in the Torah, Simchat Torah. And it was a high Sabbath again. The 8th day, Yeshua was circumcised according to the Torah command in Luke 2:21. You want to read that one? Luke 2:21.
And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Okay. Isn't it interesting that Jewish babies are named on the day that they're circumcised? Boy babies, little boys.
Yeah, you're right.
Because the same thing was with John, and same thing with today.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine if they are following the Jewish belief. So his name was given to him, Jesus, which means salvation.
Absolutely.
And in my Bible, it's all capitals.
Yes.
Capitals.
Yes.
That's it.
And we call him, Mary didn't call him Jesus. She
called him Lord.
Lord.
And it was all capital, L-O-R-D, means he was what? He is God.
He is God.
That's right.
She carried God in her womb, mm-hmm. and she also called him Yeshua.
That's right. So he was circumcised on the eighth day, as it says in Luke 2:21, thus making a blood covenant. Listen to this, a blood covenant with his heavenly Father. Due to Yeshua's death and the shedding of his blood, now all who come to him have made a covenant with Yeshua also by blood, his blood, not our own. Hallelujah, right?
Amen.
It's his blood.
Yes.
So our circumcision is not the flesh of the flesh, but of the heart. For a male, the circumcision is what accomplishes a full Hebrew birth. The Feast of Tabernacles is exactly 8 days. The first and last days, as we mentioned, are both high Sabbaths. Yeshua was born on the first day, a high Sabbath, and circumcised on the eighth day, also a high Sabbath. Evidently, then, God intended this entire Feast of Tabernacles to be set aside as a pattern of a hidden truth, or sowed in the Hebrew, to reveal to us prophetically the birth of Yeshua into the world and also his future kingdom on earth. And when I wrote this, I said, wow.
Wow, it's true. And look how it's been perverted.
That's right. Terribly, been terribly perverted.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we're almost done.
Look at you just go into the stores, or you just go wherever you're going
right.
to go. It's not about Jesus as much as it is about everything else.
That's right.
You know.
Amen. All right. Now, we're going to have a note here that you want you to remember. Note mm-hmm. that God provided two holy feasts that lasted for 8 days, one in the spring and one in the fall. Passover, unleavened bread, and the Feast of Tabernacles. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, was born and circumcised in the 8 days of unleavened bread. Why? Because it was in the Torah. The Messiah was...
The Bible says he knows exactly when we're to be born.
That's right.
And when we're to die.
That's right.
And so, you know, it had to be on that day.
That's right.
And so she couldn't have had that baby a day before or a day later.
Nope.
A day later. It had to be both
right.
babies, actually. It had to be exactly on that day.
God don't miss, does he, by one day?
I think, you know, God knows exactly when we're to be born. And I think about a lot of babies are, you know, they bring them... They do C-sections on them before they're even ready to be born.
Yep. So John the Baptist was a forerunner for the Messiah, and he was born and circumcised in 8 days of the unleavened bread. Then 6 months later, Yeshua himself, the Messiah, was born and circumcised in the 8 days of Tabernacles. John came in the first month, this is interesting, in the first month of the Hebrew month of Yeshua. First month of the Hebrew calendar, I should say. And Yeshua came in the seventh month. Between the first and the seventh months of the Hebrew year, there's a period of what? 6 months. Man's number and the day of his creation was on the sixth day. In ministry, John introduced the way through the Messiah, and Yeshua perfected the way, even the first and the seventh months signifying that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So let's have the conclusion now. Then we can talk about some things maybe. In my humble opinion, this chronology provides us with the exact day of Yeshua's birth, which is Tishri 15. Now, I've heard a lot of Jewish ministers that know the Messiah. Some say he was born at Trumpets. I don't see that, okay? But Tabernacles, it fits in with everything in the Scriptures. So on Tishri 15, according to the Scriptures in the Hebrew calendar, thus revealing evidence that demands a verdict. The Feast of Tabernacles is a very important commemoration and reminder of the kingdom of God that is to come. Zechariah 14, 16 and 17. You want to turn there, Margie? We'll read that in a moment. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 and 17 tells us that one day all nations will be required by the Torah to honor this feast. Think about this. For what greater reason and honor than is the birth of the King of Kings? Why should the ecclesia, the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, delay in honoring and celebrating this appointed time? For the Jew first, and then the Gentile. It's for all believers in Yeshua. My hope and prayer is that the ecclesia, this is the church, will return to Teshuva, to the roots of her faith, and learn to embrace and restore the fallen foundations of our faith. May we all work to overcome the influence and infiltration of pagan customs in our celebrations and become separated from this world system as holy people before our holy God. And I close it out with amen. So this is the truth of it. It shows you when he was born.
Okay.
So this Christmas, you know, I'm not making any kind of guilt on anybody if you want to honor that, but we're just showing what the scripture shows. He couldn't have been born at that particular time of the year, okay? Now, we know we mentioned that, what, Christmas comes pretty close to the time of Hanukkah sometimes, but sometimes Hanukkah's in the first of the month.
That's how it was this year.
Yep, and sometimes it's at the bottom. So it's close, but it's not the time it was born.
That's right.
Amen.
Marcy's going to read that scripture, Pastor
go ahead.
Jean. Zechariah 14,
yeah.
16 and through 17.
And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain.
That's right. So tabernacles is pretty important, isn't it?
Yes.
So I don't know about you as a believer. I'd like to know all about this, because now when we get to heaven, we won't be surprised, will we? There's going to be a lot of Christians who are going to go to heaven who will be surprised when they find out, gee, we should have been participating in these things that God put in place with the Jewish people. We've been grafted in. We have the privilege to be a part of that now. It's amazing when I think about it. But anyway, we think about all these wonderful things that...
you know, the Bible even talks about a tree.
That's right.
Cutting down a tree.
In Jeremiah.
And propping up a tree.
Put balls on it.
And right. You know, and once you cut the tree down, it's dead.
That's
well,
right.
Yeshua, he was put on a tree that we might live, that we might have eternal life with him in heaven. It's not just the season that comes and goes, you know, like we have here with Christmas and other seasons that we celebrate.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, many Christians celebrate these seasons, which have a lot of paganism in it. Out of ignorance, we did it out of ignorance.
For a lot of years, yeah.
You know, out of tradition and
hard
things
to break
like
it.
That. But we're talking about eternal life. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Not a season that will last for a few days, or a tree that will last for, some people leave it up for a month. Not a tree that's already been cut down and it's dead. There's no life there. Maybe it's beautiful for a while, but things look beautiful for a while here on earth, but you know, things do get, it says the leaves, they fall to the ground and they die, you know?
That's right.
Everything has to die. Everything yep. dies. It's here on earth. We're going to die someday, unless the catching away comes before we would die, but to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Amen? So I'm speaking to somebody who may have lost a loved one.
That's right.
You know, they really are not dead.
Nope.
Because their spirit and their soul is in heaven with the Lord, and we will see them one day.
That's right.
But, you know, our focus needs to be on Jesus, not on the person that who may have died or a loved one. But if we keep our focus on Jesus, he will bring that joy back into our heart, and to know that we will see our loved ones again.
What a reunion that'll be, huh?
God doesn't want us to focus on the lost one, even though we love them and we always will love them, but to focus on him, because the Bible says that he is a jealous God.
That's right.
And now we have Margie. I think Margie has
something to
share.
I got one more scripture I want to read, and we'll turn it over to Margie here.
Okay, honey.
In Luke chapter 2, verse 34, remember Simeon was the one that God told him that he would not die until what? He saw the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 34, and this is what Simeon said. You know what Simeon's name means in the Hebrew? It means to hear.
To hear.
To hear what he says. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, and still being done today. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, talking about Mary, and that the thoughts of many hearts, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. But she was at the foot of the cross when he died. Mm. This is in Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. And then Anna, she was a prophetess. She got up and spoke a word over Jesus as well, you know, when he was born. So we think about it, it's incredible that the evidence that we have with all this, and it is, it's an evidence that demands a verdict. You know, are we going to continue to honor paganism? And so what's this season all about? I was in the store yesterday, And just thinking about people scurrying around, and one lady had opened up her trunk and her car out in the parking lot. She must have had 35 or 40 gifts stacked up in there. Well, this is what it's all about. It's all about that. Is it really about Jesus?
He is the gift.
He needs to be the gift.
The gift.
But they don't talk about that. It's having parties and drinking and doing this and having family dinners with our family. Those things are great, but do we really, what comes first? Do we really honor our Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah? Do we really honor him?
Even though
we know this is not the time of the year that he was born, but we could still honor him. And I see the lights, and it makes me think about, as it says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And you and I that are believers now, we are the light of the world. Our light has to shine out. Jesus told us not to put it under a bushel basket. He said, let it shine. And that's the only good thing about it, but it's the wrong time of the year. And so we have the wrong emphasis at this time of the year about how much, you know, the government will say, well, how much money was spent during the holidays? Well, that's what they're thinking about. That's not what it's all about. It's not about money. It's not about gifts. He is the gift.
He is the gift.
He's the gift.
But what's happened in the church?
That's right.
Even in the church, the emphasis more on gifts, on parties.
That's right.
On dinners, on all these things for fellowship.
That's right.
But he is the gift. He is the gift. And he's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he?
That's right.
Isn't he? You know, you can get a gift from somebody and... it's going to get old, but Jesus never gets old.
And if he gives you a gift, you'll never take it away.
He'll never take it away. And so we can talk about that.
Yeah.
But praise God. I want to give Margie some time here. I was going to read this, but I'm going to read it perhaps next week because I think we'll probably continue talking about this.
There's a lot we can talk about.
Because people need to know the truth. The Bible says the truth will make us free.
That's right.
And we need to know the truth. And, you know, but it's hard to make changes. Change is very hard to make when you have been brought up in a certain way. And we were just as guilty, more so guilty maybe than some of you, in the way we brought our children up, and because
we didn't know the truth.
People look to the gift that's wrapped up in the pretty package
under
the
tree.
Under the tree, you know, we had gifts stick halfway out to our living room.
That's right.
Which was not, it's not the way to raise up a child. We were in error, but I just pray that our children will know that Jesus is the only gift that really matters at all. There's no other gift. Every other gift can be corrupt, can corrupt and break.
That's right.
Or die, you know. But Jesus is the only gift. Well, here's Miss Margie Swain.
Just before we do this, I'm just being led to say this. You know, there's somebody listening to this radio program right now that you just happen to stop on the dial.
Thank you, Lord.
And you've never asked Christ to come into your life.
Thank you,
or
Lord.
You've been taught that he's not real or whatever you might understand from what the world tells you. But see, what a great time of the year, though, to come to the Messiah at this time when the world honors it. But we know it's really not the right time. But, you know, it's a time to honor him. It's not about anything else. This would be a great day for you just to bow your knee and say, Lord, I need you more than my next breath. Would you please come into my life? I believe you died for me and rose from the grave that I might have salvation. You said that no one would be held back if we would believe that. No one would be held back in any way, shape, or form. So we come with heart faith, believing you, and we speak it out that you truly are Lord of our lives. And so we pray that someone today or during these next couple of weeks till the holidays are over will come to Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, and come to him, and your life will change. It happened with Don and I, and we've never been the same since, and I would never think about going back. Don and I are a miracle. We got saved on the same day. That's very unusual.
But Day of Atonement.
Yeah, Day of Atonement. But God knew what we were going to be doing. And so just think about that today. It's the most important thing about the holidays. Not about giving gifts and all that, but get him in there first.
Okay.
And when he's first, everything will be tremendous. So call if you made that decision for him today. Call area code 772-285-7007 and tell us what God's done for you today. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Miss Margie.
And think about it as Miss Margie's getting ready here that the Feast of Tabernacles is not a Jewish holiday. It's for the Lord. And so we can come to embrace that, and we can have a change of a mindset.
That's right.
Okay, Miss Margie. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna. And I'm so grateful for raising the standard in my life and in my family's life. And when I came to know about Christmas and the birth of Jesus not being at Christmas, it's at Tabernacles, that my children were already out of the home, so it's been a little difficult to try to share with them, as Pastor Gene and Donna has said. So this year, like in the last few years, we had given a little bit of money to send to them. And this year, I sent little trinkets. I wrapped little trinkets of gifts. And the Lord wanted me to show them that it was a visual aid between gifts and knowing Jesus. And so I wrote a letter to the family. And my family, from my son, my grandson, and my great-grandson, are all going to be together. So I've written a letter for my son to share with them. And I would like to read that, because it just might inspire somebody to be able to do that for their children. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. These gifts, I'm writing, these gifts are a small token to say we love you. These gifts you might enjoy, but in time they might get lost, broke, or you may grow out of them, or keep them to remember your grandparents, your mom, your dad, your great-grandparents. This memory of today may be forgotten. I have one more gift to share that you cannot put a price on it. It is precious, and it will not fade away.
Hallelujah.
It will not get old or out of style. It can't be taken from you. This gift brings life everlasting. This gift is a love beyond grandpa and grandma's love. It comforts you in your disappointments. This gift forgives you of your errors. This gift is your best friend. When no one else understands, this precious gift is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the gift I speak of. All the gifts we purchased cost money, but the gift Jesus offers is just that, a gift.
Hallelujah.
To become a son or a daughter of the Most High God,
yes,
and
Lord,
live with Him for eternity. Please take a few minutes to read these scriptures. And it's my prayer that Michael will read these scriptures to the family. And one of them is John 3:16. And I don't know if you'd like to look them up. Romans 3:23, if you have paper and pencil. Romans 10:9-10. Philippians 3:8-10. Hebrews 7:25. Revelation 22:17. Acts 4:12. These are just a few to look up and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts. I cannot give you this gift. You each individually must seek Him in prayer.
Yes.
It can be a very simple prayer. Knock, and ye shall find Him. The door will be open to you. I can only lead you to the door. You must knock and ask for the gift. We love and we miss you all.
That's good, Margie. You know, that's a letter for you listeners that she wrote to her family members. And that's the most important gift that they could have this time of the year. We already had the altar call here. And that your whole life will change. And all the weights, the things you struggle with, you can turn it over to Him. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but you got someone you can trust in. He's your best friend. He's as close as the mention of His name. His name is Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And so we hope you make that decision here today for Him. And many of you listening probably have family members. If you're born again, maybe some of your family members, and probably all have them, that are not really walking with the Lord, or they never have even tried to accept Christ into their life. They don't want to. So the words that you might speak at this time of the year, like Margie wrote this letter sincerely to her family. Well, those words can change somebody's heart in a moment of time, and they say, well, I'm going to open up my heart, and I'm going to receive what Jesus came for me and what he came to do for me. You know, if we were the only person on the earth, he would have died and rose from the grave for that one individual person, if we were the only one. But we know there's going to be a lot that's going to come. And these last days are important. So we're believing that, even for the Jewish people, that they're going to see the Messiah. They missed the visitation the first time. I'm believing with all my heart that there's going to be millions of them will not miss the second visitation when he comes back literally to the earth in the days ahead. And so you can come to him, begin to be a light out in the world. You can share your faith to people and tell them what God's done in your life and go on from that point. And you know, when you come, Donna mentioned up front, the greatest miracle in the body of Christ today is when somebody gives their heart to Christ sincerely, more than anything else. That's the greatest miracle of all. And so make that decision today. Give us a call. Go and give them that number again, honey.
Okay, I'm going to read this scripture
If you've
first.
Come to the Lord, give us a call.
Amen.
Go ahead, honey.
It says in John 3:16, it's one of the scriptures Margie mentioned, for God so loved the world. That means all the people in the world.
That's right,
no
everybody.
Matter what nationality they are. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord.
We're talking about eternal life.
That's right.
Life that goes on throughout the ages.
Right. Not 100 years,
not
10,000 years, a million years. It goes on and on and on.
Amen.
It's eternity,
God.
Hallelujah.
Eternity forever.
Exponential.
Yes, amen. Now I see Jean from Australia on, and I see Neil Lash, wow, from the church down in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Messianic Congregation. Well, we just bless you, and we thank you that we have this opportunity to be on Facebook and also on the air with WCNO. It will be on tomorrow, or today, this is today, but Saturday at 12 noon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have a Shabbat service this afternoon on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. So come and worship the Lord with us, and we will celebrate. Amen. So this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be here. And the phone number again is area code 772-285-7007. And if you'd like to give an end of the year offering for this radio broadcast, we certainly would appreciate it. You can mail it to Post Office Box 413 at Stuart, Florida 34995. Right, Pastor Gene?
Right.
Amen. So, phone number is 772-285-7007.
And we mentioned this book, We can tell you so much, but there's something about a book that you can read it over and over again, and you can get so much out of it. I like it better than a tape, even.
So it's $25. Just give us a call. We'd be glad to tell you about it. Amen?
Amen.
So we say what? Shabbat Shalom? Go ahead, Margie. You have something real quick?
I do Revelations to end. Revelations 22, 17.
22, 17. You got that. Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
Amen.
Oh, it was... Okay.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.